Well, good morning. It's great to be able to share this morning. We're actually starting a new series, and this series is only going to occur over 2 weeks, but it's going to cross over AM and PM services. So we're doing four sermons, you might say, or four teachings over the course of 2 weeks. And so if you haven't thought about maybe attending the alternative service on a Sunday, this is a good series to do it. But I can promise you that even if you can only attend one, there will be revelation, there will be insight, there will be practical application for you as a result of being a part of this series. Now, I don't know about you, it seems funny for someone who moved to the NT, but one of my pet hates is getting sunburnt. I hate getting sunburnt. I feel like I got more sunburnt back when I lived in Victoria than I actually did in the Territory, because at least up here you know when you're in the sun, whereas down there it's far more deceptive. You know, you'll get to the end of a day and you'll be like, what is that feeling? And then you'll be like, oh, Melbourne. Anyway, that's kind of what happens. But I hate sunburn, but at the same time, there's another type of burn that is almost more annoying. It's more instantaneous, but suddenly it happens and you're like, oh, that is damage. And this type of a burn is, of course, the classic friction burn. Now, if you're not familiar with the friction burn, it can come in a few different forms. Most recently, I really did a number on my finger when I was drilling into a steel pole. I was adding some brackets to a steel pole. I had my drill, and it was hard. I don't know where they got this steel, but apparently, you know, they got it from somewhere, probably, you know, some sort of place that apparently had the hardest steel ever, because I was drilling this thing and I was not making any gains. I bought a cobalt bit from Bunnings just to make sure I could get through, and I'm hitting this thing hard, putting my whole body weight behind this drill, and I just feel like it's going nowhere. Eventually it's kind of getting in, and I'm like, yes, here we go, success, and I get in there and I pull it out going, yes, and I immediately go to change the drill bit, right, which is just everyone's just like, rookie error. And this is the thing, I'd like to think that I'm not a rookie, but just in the moment, you're just celebrating, so I just go like this, and just grab that bit and just pull it out, and immediately as my finger hits that drill bit, it is done damage, right? You know, you kind of throw it, you're just like, whoa, but then that sear on that finger, and you're like, of course. Like, how could I not have thought about the fact that this has been metal on metal, right, for the last 2 minutes as I'm trying to get through this pole? And it's super annoying because you're like, I should know better. I should know better in these moments where there is this kind of friction. Other moments that I'm sure you've experienced in some way or another, maybe more as a young child, the classic carpet burn. Oh, man, you remember those carpet burns? You know, like you're running and then for some reason you feel like, yeah, my knees and my legs, they're going to slide on that carpet and this is going to be worth it. And you slide and then you get up with that red, raw feeling and you're like, why did I do that? Pressure and friction and contact can be great. I'm really glad I drilled that hole. I'm really glad I had that fun, but it also leaves us with incredible potential for damage and pain. And this is what we're going to talk about, especially when it comes to relationships, because it's all well and good drilling holes or playing games, but when we talk about relationships, we're talking about interacting between people. We're talking about life on life. And even as I say those words, life on life, what are we talking about? We're talking about contact. We're talking about the opportunity for friction. And it's always important to remember that if you're going to have meaningful relationships in your life, relationships that actually have genuine contact, right, there is always going to be pressure. Now, if we lived our entire life with superficial relationships, we're just going around and we're keeping it really, really low key and with other people, the likelihood of friction, the likelihood of conflict is actually pretty low. But very few of us want to live that way. We want to live with meaningful, wholesome relationships with others. We want these to be constructive and healthy, but that means you're going to have to be in proximity. It means you're going to have some life on life, which means that when you get that pressure, there is always the potential for friction. Now, if you joined us for previous series, we've talked about the fact that this kind of pressure can be a good thing. We talked about men and women and Genesis chapter 2 and 3 and talked about Isa Kenegdo, this pressure that strengthens one another, and that can be a good thing. But we also know about that kind of pressure, that kind of heat that emerges in those relationships that do not function well. And that's what the series is about. As followers of Jesus, we recognize that God's plan for us isn't just about restoring our relationship with Him, though that's absolutely critical and informs everything else, It's also about restoring our relationships with each other. It's about restoring our relationships with the earth and with our inner self, our sense of identity. And all of these areas come under attack in this world that is indeed broken. And yet we need to focus in and regularly revisit, especially this relationship that exists between each other. Because we are called to be distinct. We are called to forgive well. And we will be talking about things like forgiveness over the course of this series. But this morning, I want to talk about prevention. I want to talk about what we can do to actually decrease the temperature, the unnecessary destruction that can occur within the context of relationships. And you might be sitting here and you might be like, well, Gavin, that's a bit too little too late type deal. Well, if that's the case, don't worry, we'll be talking about those ones that are currently in conflict. But I want to offer you something that was shared through the Psalms this morning that I think deeply informs what it looks like to position ourselves so that we can reduce the friction, reduce the hostility, reduce the heat that exists not only in some of those relationships that we'll talk about, but in every single relationship in our life. And that is why I believe it's worth re-listening to. So if you've got your Bible, feel free to turn with me to Psalm chapter 1 or Psalm 1. We don't really talk about chapters in Psalms, do we? Psalm number 1. And we're just going to be looking at the first three verses. The actual Psalm 1 is only 6 verses, but there's just too much good stuff in 1 to 3. So I'll save the other 3 for you another time. Here it is on the screen. Blessed. We're just going to pause there. Blessed. Just for you a reminder what blessed is. Sometimes we say blessed, blessed, blessed. Always good to remember that blessed, a good definition, is close to the heart of God. Because sometimes we think of blessing as being like, hey, you know, riches and blessing, and you know, sometimes that comes with it. Great. But blessed means close to the heart of God. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And we're going to stop there. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. There's, depending on the translation you have, there'll be some different language here. But what we naturally and already see here in Psalm 1 is that the psalmist is doing something quite clever if you haven't seen what's going on here. He's immediately talking about posture. Notice the words that he uses in that first or second line, should I say, walking in step with the wicked, and then standing in the way that sinners take, and then sitting in the company of mockers. If you need it really highlighted, I love the King James Version. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So look for those words, walketh, standeth, sitteth, right? This is a very deliberate act on the part of the poet here to talk about posture. Three different ways that we engage with people. Now, whether it's ungodly, sinners, scornful, that's kind of neither here nor there. He's talking about the same type of relationship that we can have in the world, right? And he starts off with recognizing that there are some relationships where we're kind of walketh-ing, yeah? We're just kind of walketh-ing along and kind of hanging out with people. Maybe it's some kind of incidental relationships. We happen to walketh down the street with them. We cross paths. Maybe we walketh a little further with them. But then we have other places to go. But then he talks about the fact that maybe there's another type of person that we spend time in proximity with where we're a bit more standeth. We kind of standeth in their huddle. And we listen and we hear what they have to say. Maybe we contribute to that environment, but we kind of stand a thing with them, yeah? And so this isn't kind of a transitional space. This is a very deliberate, I am choosing to be here. And then in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, in the fourth line there, then we have the sitteth, a very deliberate act. I am not going anywhere, right? This is my space. This is my area. It is going to take a deep investment for me to stand up, to move up to level 2, you might say, and then walketh away, level 1, to eventually exit the proximity of such people. And so we see this very deliberate progression from these kind of temporary, incidental, happenstance kind of walketh relationships to this standing, deliberate posturing with others, and then to this I'm not going anywhere sitteth process. Now, Gavin, what are you getting onto here? Okay, What the psalmist is picking up on is that there are varying relationships that we have with people in our lives. Now, I'm very, very aware that right here, the psalmist is talking about, you know, ungodly, sinners, scornful, right? We're talking about people who are not adding to the wholeness and not adding to the construction and the rebuilding and the restoration of this world, but to the destruction and the chaos. But the truth is, when it comes to the relationships, not just with these people, but with everyone in our lives, every single person in our lives, the heat starts well before the fire. Okay, let me tell you what I'm going on with this about this, right? Because sometimes we can find ourselves spending X amount of time in a particular environment with particular people, and then suddenly maybe we go home, and if we have a child, our child does something and we lash out. And suddenly, I don't know if you had these moments, I had these moments, and I'm like, well, where did that come from? It's like, where did that come? Where did that overreaction come from? Where did that kind of friction come from in that moment? Or you've spent time on a particular sporting team and then you come back and suddenly you lash out at the housemate because they haven't done the dishes, but in a way that is just completely over the top. And you ask the question, hey, what was going on in me for me to respond that way to that particular circumstance? Because there's suddenly some sort of heat or there was some sort of kind of fire that started burning, but it didn't seem to originate here. Well, this is something that's really important to understand about our lives. The heat starts well before the fire. The heat is generated in many cases by those we walk with and those we stand with and those we sit with. And yes, that may cause potentially significant friction within those contexts, but we actually take that heat back to every single relationship in our lives. We don't suddenly have this kind of exclusive environment where tension exists here and then I can step into this other environment and suddenly all is fine. We carry the heat with us. And what the psalmist is trying to identify here, and I'm going to use a disclaimer a little bit, so don't write me off yet, but we need to understand that if we spend significant time with people who don't align to the heart of God, then that's actually going to be carried into our other relationships. If we spend time with people who are toxic, we shouldn't be surprised that we get sick. Now, of course, I say that and I say something really quickly. I'm not talking about separating ourselves from the world. I feel like I have to make that really, really clear, okay? That's not what is talking about here. What we're saying is we need to be especially reminded, we need to be recognizing the fact that the people we spend time with do influence us. When we walketh and when we standeth and when we sitteth, we shouldn't be surprised that these people's thoughts invade our thoughts. We shouldn't be surprised that the language that is spoken around us, we start to adopt. We know this is true. And so when it comes to friction in our lives, and I'm talking about the friction maybe with your partner or with your child or your friend, yes, maybe there's work that needs to occur in that space, and we're going to talk about that. But at a broader level, we need to ask the question, where is my wider network at present? Because it may just be that what's going on here, the heat and the fire that is occurring with this environment, is actually far more to do with this than it is to do with this. It's probably both. But nevertheless, if we only focus on this but don't change this, we're still going to end up with a lot of heat. And so some Christians, some followers of Jesus need to regularly, and I need to do this too, we need to regularly check our network because our network is transferring heat to other relationships, okay? Now, again, this isn't about just kind of wrapping ourselves in our own little community and being in our little holy huddle and not engaging with the world, all right? That causes a whole lot of other trouble, okay? Arrogance mostly. But we need to be aware of how our network and influence affects us. Who are we walking with? Who are we standing with? Who are we sitting with? One way that I've described this in a kids and youth context, and it's good that, you know, it's a holiday service, so this is a good reminder for all of us. I often talk about the fact that in every relationship we have to ask the question, am I a thermometer or am I a thermostat? Now, who can quickly tell me what a thermometer does? Measures the temperature, right? It measures the temperature. It tells us what the temperature is in a room. And a thermometer adjusts based upon that temperature. You could say that a thermometer reflects the temperature of a room. What does a thermostat do? Sets the temperature. That's right. So you have one device that sets the temperature of a room and another one that reflects the temperature of the room. And this is the same as true in every relationship. And again, this isn't about a message of like, hey, protect yourselves from all the wicked people. Come on, like as if that's our deal. We are people on mission every day. That's never going to be the message here, right? But we need to ask the question, hey, in these relationships that I have in my network, which I know are going to transfer heat from here to there, particularly if they're not reflecting the heart of God, in that context, am I a thermostat? Am I setting the temperature of what is going on there? Or am I a thermometer that simply reflects the sum total of what is going on in that space? And so if this space is filled with gossip, then suddenly as a thermometer, if that's my posture, I'm just reflecting that, I'm adopting that language. Or am I someone who actually critiques that in a healthy, accessible, non-judgmental way to actually draw people and change the temperature, change the nature of that group? Because this is the truth. If you don't choose to be a thermostat, you will be a thermometer. It's how life works. And I challenge this for young people, but I also challenge adults because I think we become more naive to it. We think that we've kind of got our identity in check. We feel like we've got our security in check. And yet at the same time, so easily with these incidental or these deliberate or these permanent relationships that we have in this world, we simply become a thermometer reflecting whatever the sum total of the group is. And so I think this kind of raises a question for us as we think about our networks and we think about friction and the way that these networks can kind of bring heat to perhaps those most meaningful ones is there are times in our world where we thought maybe we were walking alongside people and that's okay. And maybe these people didn't reflect the heart of God and that's okay because we're being missional, right? But suddenly we realize that we're not so much walking but we're standing. Or maybe we think that we're standing with them and we've got kind of appropriate boundaries in place to ensure that we are the thermostat, but suddenly it's come a little bit of time and we're like, oh, heck, I have been sitting in this for a while. I've been adopting language and suddenly our posture has adjusted. And when we talk about this, I'm not just talking about physical relationships. I'm talking about like relationships we have with like podcast hosts. Who are the loud voices in your life that you continue to listen to, right? That essentially you're sitting with. If I listen to a Hamish and Andy podcast every single day and it brings me great joy, I should not deceive myself into thinking that I'm simply walking alongside a couple of comedians, but actually if it's become part of my rhythm, I am sitting. That is part of who I am. That is part of my rhythm. And I wouldn't want to deceive myself into thinking that it was anything else. And yet this is what we do. We need to be very, very deliberate about looking at our networks and going, hey, in these areas where I'm journeying with others who perhaps have different perspectives to my own, and that is not a bad thing, okay? Am I standing? Am I walking? Am I sitting? And in each of those settings, am I the thermometer or am I the thermostat? Who are the loudest voices in your life? Unless this feels like just talking about relationships, again, the reason we're focusing on this is because whatever is happening there is going to transfer to here. It's going to inform the way and the heat and the tension that exists within all relationships in our life, not just that one. Now, you might be like, well, Gavin, that's all well and good for you to say. You hang out at church all day, so where are your scoffers? And you're right, we don't always get to choose our relationships. Maybe you have work colleagues who have different perspective to your own. In fact, I hope they do. You know, it's not a bad thing. But this is the important thing to remember. When you can't choose your proximity to people, when you can't choose those relationships, family, workplace, etc., you can choose your posture. You can choose whether you're choosing to walk or to stand or to sit in those settings. You're going to have that person who's always riling you up about the violence in Alice Springs and they're getting on your nerves, or the person who always talks politics and riles you up that ultimately you end up directing at your poor kid who's just tripped over here later on in the day or whatever it might be. But there's a sense of like you're always going to have these people, but you do have the choice as to whether you stand or whether you sit or whether you just walk by. It's no mistake that each of these states of posture are connected with these words like in step with the wicked, or in the way that sinners take, or in the company of, right? Different translations will talk about the fact that there is a certain type of way that we adopt. And there is a certain type of way in the psalm that he identifies that the sinners and the mockers and the wicked take. It is a special type of way. And if we don't choose our way, we will adopt their way. Some people are always looking for a fight. Some people always want to be the victim. Some people simply aren't aware of the way that their behavior affects others, right? And that's just is what it is. And that is part of a particular type of way. The good news is there is another way. I love this in Psalm 1:2. He continues. So we've talked about walketh and standeth and sitteth. So we checked ourselves. We recognize that depending upon how we engage in that space, it's going to reflect the way that we are blessed, that we reflect the heart of God. And then it says in Psalm 1:2, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Now, first of all, let's not get caught up on that word law, okay? Because that word law can be deceptive. When we look at the word law in the Old Testament, we have to first of all recognize that law to an Old Testament perspective is the word Torah, right? That's their instructions from God to lead them from a place of slavery into wholeness. That is a grace of God. So when we say law, we're talking about becoming more and more the people that God created them to be. Yeah. So when you meditate or delight in the law, we're talking about delighting in a particular way of living life, a particular type of kingdom we would use in the New Testament under a particular type of king who is King Jesus, right? So when we delight in God's way, in the law of the Lord, in the way of the Lord, when we meditate on this way day and night, that is what will align us with the heart of God, which includes his heart for forgiveness and for restoration and for valuing a person rather than dismissing their valuing or labeling them as something that they are not. And what we see here in this little beautiful Psalm 1 and 2 is we see this posturing where one person is spending time with the wicked and kind of navigating down that way, and the other person is actually looking for the good. There is a posture where we can almost seek out trouble by the people that we spend time with, but then there is another way which is around posturing ourselves to look for the good. And when we kind of break this down, this isn't like a profound teaching in some way. In some way, what I'm telling you is deeply obvious, but can be so hard to implement in our own lives. I mean, when we talk about delighting in the law, we're just talking about spending quality time with God, right? That's what we're actually talking about. I mean, the psalmist has always talked about spending time with people who don't reflect the heart of God. So now the psalmist is saying, hey, if you spend time with God, you're going to reflect his heart. And I love picking up those kind of walketh, standeth, sitteth words again, even though he doesn't use them in this second verse. You know, I think about walking with God, and I think about identifying where God is at work in the everyday. I'm walking, doing my thing, and I'm seeing where God's provision and where his inspiration and transformation is working, and I'm identifying that as I go. I love the idea of just standing when it comes to our relationship with God. And for me, that's about spending time with other Christians. And we all know that we're broken. We've got nothing, you know, we're not perfect. But at the same time, hopefully in community, we can reflect the heart of God as best we can. We're going to carry our stories and we're going to carry our pain, but we're also going to carry promise and truth. And so spending time together as fellow Christians is deeply important. It's amazing how often, and I know I've had this temptation from time to time myself, you know, the sense of kind of going, I don't really need church because, well, we all know how church has been painted, what church has done, and it's easier just to avoid church, right? But when we're talking about spiritual family, we're talking about that which actually promotes and celebrates truth together. You see, if we're isolated, then we have no accountability. But when we're in collective community, we have the ability to speak into each other's lives, bring refinement in the way that we pursue and love each other. And so we share and stand with each other and then sitting. What does it look like to take deliberate, unmovable time to seek after the heart of God? Are you seeking the good, or are you looking for trouble? Because this will deeply inform not just all some relationships, but all of your relationships. And it's important that when we look at this, Sam, it'd be very easy to turn to a legal lens. It's like, well, you, Gavin, you just want me to do my Bible study and just to do the right thing. If you do the right thing, then all will go well with you, right? It's like, that's not what the psalmist is getting on. What the psalmist is talking about is, what does it look like to flourish as a human being? This isn't about doing the right thing to get God off our back. This is about flourishing as a human being, recognizing the networks that we have, being deliberate about our posture within them, being deliberate about the influence they have over us, and knowing that all that effort is going to be reflected in those close, meaningful relationships of our lives. We are naive if we think otherwise. Because by doing all these things, we set the temperature. The psalmist continues, that person who delights in the law of the Lord, the one who delights in God's way, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. See, God desires that we have wholesome, life-giving relationships with others in this world. There's always going to be pressure. There's always going to be the potential for destructive tension, for friction to occur. He created us to experience this kind of pressure with each other. But if heat and friction and resistance and hostility are the primary kind of factors that are present within some of those most meaningful relationships that you have, then I want to encourage you, there is a better way. God created you for a better way. And yes, there may need to be work done one-on-one in terms of, you know, pain and hurt and whatever's going on there with spouse or child or friend or colleague or whatever it might be. But let's not forget that this whole network around us will speak into how we are postured in that space. And I just wonder if it's one area of life that we don't check enough. This is about prevention, like I said. It's about reducing the pressure before the sparks of friction start a fire. And I love that by adopting this language of the psalmist, the walking, the standing, the sitting, we can test ourselves and test the influence of our network. And I love also the imagery of the psalmist, because there's nothing better for heat and burning than a stream of water. And so I claim that and I adopt that and I ask the question to each one of us today, what relationship in your life needs a stream of water poured on it right now? And I ask this at the beginning of this series because this is what we want to focus on. Hey, are there particular relationships in your life right now where there's a whole lot of friction, a whole lot of heat, a lot of maybe surprising even to you hostility? Where is that coming from? Yes, maybe it is a forgiveness thing, and you know, maybe it is a genuine love thing. Ian's going to talk about that tonight. Maybe it's something else, and we're going to hit this up all this series. But we need to be honest about the state of our relationships because God calls us to wholeness. He calls us to a better life, not to get him off our back, but because he created us to thrive. He created us to prosper. And again, I'm not talking about just money from the sky. I'm talking about wholeness, prosper, the way we were created to live. So what relationship in your life needs a stream of water to take the heat out right now? And then to follow it up with today's message, does this network have anything to do with that? Are there any places that I thought I was walking where I was actually standing? Are there any places I was standing where I'm actually sitting? Are there any places I've actually been sitting far too long and I have neglected to recognize the influence that is having, not just on that relationship with them, but all my relationships? This is what the psalmist wants to remind us of. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you that you have created us for relationship. And we know that comes with great risk. Now, God, you risked relationship with us and you got burnt and you continue to get burnt because of the ways that we are hostile toward you. But God, in your love, in your ever and never failing love, it's
It's just a grace, God, that you invite us to live the way that you created us to live. And God, we recognize that sometimes means checking ourselves. And God, we recognize that we want to be a people who isn't just kind of shying away from relationship. We don't want to just be in our holy huddle, but we want to be sure that we are setting the temperature and that we're not transferring the heat of our workplaces or the heat of these other relationships into those relationships that matter most. But we want to be a people that is known for love and known for forgiveness, because that is your character. And so I want to pray for our church that we would be blessed, that we would be close to the heart of God. And Lord, if there are particular relationships where we need to just adjust those boundaries, we need to check them. Maybe we need to push in a little deeper. God, I want to pray that you would reveal that to us. And as we make that change, the one that you have for every single one of us uniquely here today, I want to pray that we would see the fruit of that. That we would experience in those meaningful relationships that living water that the psalmist talks about. The streams of water that extinguish the heat, extinguish the flames, and bring healing and wholeness. This is what we desire, our King. Amen.